So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 2. And Charlie Brown's asking the question, what is Christmas all about? Because there's so many different people telling us that there's so many different reasons for the time that we celebrate this time of year. You guys are busy with Christmas coming up, and you guys have a lot of voices that are speaking into your lives right now. How many of you guys have a busy week coming up? Just raise your hand. If you're gonna be busy this week, let me see it. All right? How many of you guys have a project that you have to turn in this week before the semester's over? All right? How many of you guys are thinking right now about the finals that you have this week and the things that you've got to study for? How many of you guys have more than one teacher that's giving you a final? How many of you guys, every teacher thinks that their class is the most important and they give you the most work, right? So, all right, it's like this competition between teachers, okay? So you guys are busy and you've got people pulling on for your attention in class, in school, but that's not the only place, right? You've got friends that are fighting for your attention. You've got parents and family members fighting for your attention. And every time you turn on the TV, every time you turn on the radio, every time you get online, every time you walk in a store, you've got different people and different things giving you messages this time of year, saying this time of year is going to be fantastic if you buy this, or if you ask for this, or if you do this. Guys, there's so many voices that are fighting for your attention. There's so many voices right now that are speaking into your life. It's important to slow down. All right, everybody look up here. Deep breath. It's important to slow down. All right, it's important to filter out some of these voices. It's important to remember to focus on what we're supposed to focus on this time of year. Guys, Christmas, and Linus just read that to us. We're going to read it together, guys. But Christmas is the ultimate act of love, right? Christmas shows us that God moves, right? That God is at work and that God moves. And as we read his word, we're going to see something. Now, it happens over and over and over again. We can start in Genesis and read all the way through the end of the Bible. We're not going to do that this morning because we don't have time for it. But we see the same thing happening over and over and over again. Guys, God moves, and then people, that's me and you, choose. God moves, and people choose how they're going to respond to God being at work in their lives. And we're going to see that this morning in the lives of our shepherds. So look at Luke 2. Okay, we're going to start in verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. And it says this, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great what? Of great joy that will be for all the,'" that's me and you, "'all the people,'" right? "'For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host," that's a ton of angels, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Verse 15 says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And everyone that heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told to them." Guys, let's pray together as we get into God's word this morning. God, we love you, and Lord, we thank you that this just isn't a story that we think about or read about at Christmas time, God, but this is truth. God, this is history. This is what you did for us because you love us. God, we thank you for moving that night, and God, we thank you for always moving and being at work throughout history. Lord, God, I pray as we open up your word this morning that we see how we should respond to you as you are at work in our hearts and in our lives. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, guys, we've read that story. We've heard that story. How many of you guys have one of these at home? I stole this out of Landon's room. But we've heard that story. We've seen that story. We see it in pictures. We see it in cartoons, all that kind of stuff. We've seen the shepherds, right? We've heard it so many times. And like last week, I think it's really important that we slow down and we think about what's really going on here, all right? Let me paint the scene for you of what's going on. We've got a group of shepherds, and they were doing what? They were keeping over by... All right, you guys know it, right? You've heard it so many times. You can say the shepherds, they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And when it's written like that, and then as you read it like that, it almost sounds sort of glamorous, like sort of cool. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Let me tell you what the shepherds were doing, all right? They were sitting out in a cold, dark field watching sheep. That's what they were doing. That's what their life consisted of. They were in a cold, dark field, and they were watching sheep, okay? They're outside, nothing to do. They're at work. Okay, these guys are at work. And let me tell you a little bit more about these shepherds. Typically, in their culture, these shepherds, they did a big job, but typically, they were outsiders. Okay, typically, they were sort of the last people to know what was going on. They were the last to be included. They were outsiders. These weren't the kind of guys that were in the temple every day. These weren't the kind of guys that were hanging out with the priest. These weren't the kind of guys that spent a lot of time reading their Bible, reading the scripture that they had back then. They just weren't, all right? Their job, this is important, their job of what they did, they took care of what kind of animal? They took care of sheep, and the contact they had with these sheep and their job made them unclean or unfit to go into the temple. And so they didn't go into the temple on a regular basis. A lot of them probably never, ever got to go into the temple, and their lifestyle, because of what was required of them, made them outsiders among the rest of the people, all right? They were outside, and they were the last to know what was going on, the last to be included, and a lot of times they were just simply left out of what was going on in the city. By a quick show of hands, and we're not going to go around and like counsel anybody right now, but raise your hand if you've ever been left out of something. Anybody ever been left out? All right? Sort of the last person to know. It's not a good feeling when you're left out. It's not a good feeling when you're the last person to know what's going on. If everybody's going to do something and everybody knows about something and you don't know about it and you find out last minute, it's like, oh, great. Thanks, guys, for the call. Or if you find out that everybody's getting a text message and you realize that you're not involved in this group text message and you just sort of don't know what's going on, just sort of imagine that's how these shepherds were, right? They didn't know what was going on in the temple. They didn't know what was going on in religious life on a day-to-day basis in the nation of Israel. They were outside, which is a little bit weird. All right, let me tell you what these guys were doing. They were raising what kind of animal? Sheep. When we think of shepherds in the Bible, I think of a really famous one. All right, he was a king after he was a shepherd. Who is that? David, right? David watched his dad's sheep. Right? David watched the sheep that belonged to his family. More than likely, these guys weren't watching their family's sheep, right? The region that they were in, and this part of the Bible, you can read about it, but you can read about it all throughout the Bible. This specific instance is mentioned. These guys more than likely were raising sheep that were going to be taken to the temple. All right, everybody look up here. The sheep that these guys were raising, it's so cool, it's so important. These sheep would be taken to the temple, and people could get them at the temple and use the sheep that these guys were raising as a sacrifice for their sins. Right? These guys were part of a big operation that was providing sheep that were going to go into the temple to be sacrificed for the forgiveness of their sins. So we see in Luke chapter 2 that God decides to make the first announcement. God decides to appear to this group of shepherds, right, who are raising sheep that are going to be used as sacrifice. And God decides to tell these guys about the Lamb of God that was coming to be the sacrifice for all of the people. It's incredible to me how God works. And I love how God stepped in and spoke first to the people on the outside of what was going on. And there's one more important thing to remember about this night as we dive into Scripture, okay? One of the most important nights in the history of the world started off as what? Just a normal night, all right? Started off as a normal night. These guys went to work. They were working the night shift, all right? And they were just doing what they do at work. How many of you guys have a job? Just raise your hand. Who's got a job, all right? I thought more adults than that would have a job. All right, so a lot of us have a job, all right? How many of you guys do homework? Raise your hand. How many of you guys do chores, all right? So some you have some kind of responsibilities, some kind of work that's going on in your life. All right, imagine, think about what you do at work. How many of you guys ever get bored at work or when you're doing homework? How many of you guys are ever really, really busy at work? How many of you guys ever have so much homework that you're not sure how you're going to get it all done, right? So there's different things that go on. We all have different kinds of days when we're doing work, that kind of stuff. That's what's going on with these guys. We don't know what kind of night it was. Maybe they were really bored at work. They were trying to stay awake. Maybe they were really busy at work and they had sheep running all over the place and they were trying to get them in. Maybe there were animals coming in trying to eat their sheep. We don't know what was going on that night. We just know it was a normal night at work for them. And all of a sudden, God stepped in and God interrupted their ordinary night. God moved in a huge way in their lives and in their world. Guys, know this. God moves. He moves, right? Not just that night. God moves all the time. God moves, and we see in this specific instance, he gave the shepherds two incredible gifts. If you look back at verse 6, and we're not going to spend a lot of time there, we're going to look at that next Sunday morning with Pastor Fleming. But in verse 6, we see that history was forever changed, and Jesus was born. God gave the shepherds the incredible gift of a Savior. Right? God gave the world the incredible gift of a Savior. Jesus was born. And the second gift God gave to them was this. All right? On an ordinary night, God moved and God revealed himself to the shepherds. That second gift he gave the shepherds was this. Everybody look up here. God included the shepherds in his story. God included the shepherds in what was going on. He didn't have to do that. Right? There were a lot of people that night that weren't included, but God brought the shepherds into what was going on and let them know that everything had changed. Isn't it incredible to think about how God did that? He didn't send the angels to the temple. Right? He didn't tell the priest with the angels that the Savior had been born. He didn't send the angels to the palace to tell the king, right, that the Savior had been born. He didn't send that multitude of angels like to cover the entire city or the entire country and let them know that the Savior had been born. He went to the shepherds. Right? He went to a group of outsiders, a group of people that were removed from what was going on to let them know that the Savior had been born. Try to think about what's going on here. Right? The people of Israel have been waiting for hundreds and thousands of years for the one that God had promised. Think about that. They had been waiting for God to fulfill his promise of a Savior for thousands of years. And all of a sudden, these guys are the first ones to know. All right, think about it like this. I want you guys to imagine something with me real quick. It would be like this. I was trying to put myself in their shoes this week, and we sort of thought about it. We know, right, that the Bible made a promise, that God made a promise in his word that he was going to send a Savior, right? We can look through the Old Testament and see that God promised that Jesus was going to come. But what else did he promise about Jesus? He promised that Jesus is coming back, right? He promised that Jesus is coming back for his church, that Jesus is going to come back one day and take all of us that have placed our faith and trust in him to heaven to spend an eternity with God. We know that he's coming back. And as we read his word, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on how he's going to come back. But what if he did it a little bit different than we think? All right? What if instead of a trumpet blast and the whole world seeing Jesus come at once, all right, what if instead of something like that, Jesus appeared to you while you were at work? Right? Or angels, just like this story, appeared to you while you're at work. Now, you know that Jesus is coming back. We've talked about that. You know the church has been waiting for it for 2,000 years. The disciples, after Jesus went back up into heaven, were waiting with anticipation for Jesus to come back, thinking that it might be in their lifetime. Okay, so we know it's going to happen. We know that Jesus is coming back. God has promised us that, and we're placing our hope and our trust in that. But what if you're at work one day, or you're at home one day doing your homework, and all of a sudden, an angel appears to you and says, "Hey, Brett, it's time. Guess what? Jesus came once. He is coming back, and he's here, right? He's here. He's coming back. He's right here, and you're the first person in the world to know." People have been waiting 2,000 years, and you're the first one to know, and you've got the opportunity to go and to meet with Jesus. You've got the opportunity to go see Jesus and worship Jesus and spend time with Jesus before the rest of the world knows that he's come back. That's what happened to these shepherds. They were the first ones to know about God's promise. They were the first ones, and they were invited to be a part of what was going on. Right? How incredible would it be if you got that special invitation from God like the shepherds got? Look back at verse 10 and 11. All right? They got this invitation, and the angel said this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? All the people. Good news, great joy for all of the people. That word good news, if we can literally translate it, it means gospel, all right? So when we say share the gospel with people, we're talking about sharing the good news of Jesus with people. That night, the angels shared the gospel with the shepherds, all right? The good news for the world and not just for the shepherds. And verse 11 says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is what? Christ." The Lord. All right, complete this name for me. Jesus. All right, Jesus. Jesus Christ. All right, so Jesus to us is known as Jesus Christ. But do you guys know that Christ isn't a name? Right, that he was, when he was born, Mary didn't say, "This is Jesus Christ." Guys, Christ isn't a name. Christ is a title. Okay, Christ is a title. Christ means Messiah. Christ means promised one. Christ means Savior. Jesus the Christ. So when those shepherds heard that, guys, they wouldn't have thought, oh yeah, Jesus Christ, like it's another name. They would have thought Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the promised one, Jesus the one that for hundreds of years, thousands of years, we have been waiting for is here. They would have heard the Messiah, and they would have understood that the wait was over. And in that moment, when the angels were talking to them, that everything had changed, all right? And they got excited about that. And then a ton of angels showed up singing, "Glory to God in the highest," and what? What comes with that? "Glory to God and peace. Peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased." Guys, God moved and everything changed that night. And we see that when Jesus came, so did peace. When Jesus came, he brought peace into the world, and all of us, no matter who we are, right, can have peace with God through Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So God moved, God brought peace into the world, and in that moment, the shepherds had a choice to make. They were going to choose in that moment how it was that they responded to God. Guys, when God moves, people choose. And it's not just the shepherds. Everybody look up here. We're going to look at the shepherds and see how God responded. Okay, but know this. Every day, God is moving in you. Every day, God is working around you. And every day, you are choosing how you're going to respond to God. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday morning in Element. You're choosing how you're going to respond to God. It doesn't matter if you wake up on a Tuesday morning and get a text message with a devotional. You're choosing how you're going to respond to God. It doesn't matter if you walk into a class or a lunchroom and see that student that you know just needs to hear the love of Christ. Every day, every moment, all of us are choosing how we're going to respond to God. There is always a response when God moves. Look back at verse 15. Okay, we're going to see how the shepherds responded, and maybe we could do the same thing. It says, "When the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with," what does your Bible say there? They went with what? Haste. They did it quickly, right? They didn't delay. They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was Jesus, lying in a manger. The shepherds heard from God and they made a choice. They got an incredible gift from God and they responded to God with gifts of their own. We're going to look at two gifts. The first one is this. It's very simple, guys. The shepherds responded to God with the gift of their time. They responded with the gift of their time. They immediately traveled to Bethlehem, all right? They did it quickly. When they heard God, they instantly obeyed. They weren't too busy. They didn't let other things get in their way. They didn't say, "Sorry, God, I'm at work." They didn't say, "Sorry, God, I'm on sheep duty right now." They didn't say, "Sorry, God, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll go check him out at another time." When they heard from God, they immediately obeyed. When it says they went with haste, it doesn't mean that they ran, all right? What it means is they instantly obeyed Jesus. They instantly responded to the angel's message from God, and they gave God their time. And the second gift we see him give is this. The shepherds gave that night the gift of their words. Okay, let me explain that. They gave the gift of their words. All right, two things. They opened their mouths, and they used their words to worship God. All right, they opened their mouths, and they used their words to worship God. All right. I think that they were worshiping the fact that the Savior had come. I think they were worshiping God that the Savior was there and that everything changed. I think they were worshiping God that Jesus the Christ had been born. But guys, guess what? I think they were also worshiping God because they were included. I think they were worshiping God because they were invited to be a part of what was going on in God's story. They didn't have to be there that night. God didn't have to appear to them. They didn't have to have that job. They didn't have to be in that situation, but they were there. And the angels did speak to them. And God did invite them to become a part of what's going on. That makes me think about me, right? And I hope it makes you think about you right now, all right? If we've heard the good news of Jesus and had a chance to respond to it, I mean, God has orchestrated our lives, right? And what's going on in our lives to be included, to be a part of that good news. All right? Think about if you grew up in a place where people didn't talk about Jesus like this. Think about if you grew up in a country, all right, where maybe it was illegal to talk about Jesus and there weren't Bibles floating around everywhere and you went to jail if you mentioned the name of Jesus, because there's people that grow up in countries like that. There's people that live in places like that, and it's by the grace of God that we have heard the good news of Jesus, all right? Think about countries that are very similar to ours, but with zero spiritual knowledge, zero spiritual excitement. I've gone to England for several years now, and here's the deal. In so many ways, that country is exactly like ours. So many things feel the same. So many things in the culture end up going the exact same way, but guys, guess what? I walk around those schools and I see thousands of teenagers every year. Their parents don't know who Jesus is. Their friends don't know who Jesus is. Their teachers don't know who Jesus is. There's nobody there telling them about Jesus. And they grow up and they go their whole lives and they don't have anybody ever sit down with them and tell them the same good news that these shepherds heard that night. Guys, the shepherds gave God the gift of their worship because he invited them to be a part of what was going on with the Savior. And guys, this Christmas, I think it's important that we come to a place of worship just for the fact that God has allowed us and orchestrated our lives in a way that we can know him as well. But they didn't just use their words to worship, okay? They used their words to do one other thing. Anybody pick it out in the story? They used their words to worship God, and they told people what they'd seen, and they told people what they had heard. They didn't keep it to themselves, right? They didn't necessarily invite somebody to go to church with them or anything like that. They're running down the streets after they see Jesus, telling everybody what happened that night, telling everybody that they had an encounter with the one real, true, and living God, telling everybody that they had met the Savior. Guys, guess what? They met Jesus and they couldn't keep it to themselves, right? God moved in their life and they told other people what was going on. Everybody saw him. And think about this, all right? I never thought about this till this week as I was reading for this morning. So that night, the shepherds did what? They told who? People, all right? They told people. We don't know names of anybody. We don't have stories of anybody they told. And so that made me wonder this. I wonder how many of the people the shepherds told that night went and found baby Jesus that night. Think about that. I mean, the shepherds told everybody. They got back to the fields. I'm sure they told everybody there. They're going down the streets. They're traveling through Bethlehem. Think about how many people must have heard from the shepherds that night. I wonder how many of them went and found Jesus. I wonder how many of them went and talked to Mary and Joseph and heard the stories about how the angels had appeared to them and about how the angels had told them that they were going to have a son. I wonder how many people got to hear the story that the angels told them the baby was going to be named Jesus. I wonder how many people heard the shepherd's story and went and found Jesus that night as well. Listen, guys, the shepherds heard and they made a choice to respond. The people the shepherds told, guess what? They made a choice on whether or not they were going to respond to this incredible gift that God gave them. And guys, just like the shepherds and just like the people the shepherds told, each and every one of us makes a choice on how we're going to respond to God being at work in our lives. Just real quick, all right? Think to yourself. Don't talk to anyone else around you. I just want you to think, how do you generally respond when God moves in your life? Just think for a second. How do you generally respond when God moves in your life? We can look through the Bible and see every kind of response. We can go back to Adam, right? And then to Noah, and then to Moses, and then to Joseph, and then to David, and then to people like Esther and Obadiah and Shamgar and Isaiah. And we can look at all these different people in the Bible and see so many different responses to God moving in their life. How do you respond when God moves in your life? How do you respond when you come face to face with God's truth? How do you respond when God prompts and when God puts something in your heart? And I'm only asking you the question because God moves and people choose, right? God moves and then we choose how we're going to respond to him. So when you encounter the truth, what do you do with it? This is what the shepherds did. The shepherds gave their time and they went and they gave their words by worshiping God and by sharing with others what God had done. The shepherds encountered God and their lives were changed. Guys, we can see a changed heart because it results in a changed life. We can see when someone's heart's changed because they begin doing different things. So the question is, guys, how do we respond to the truth? Don't go back like nothing happened. Hopefully we don't see the truth of God or see God moving and then act like everything's the same and act like everything's normal. Hopefully, guys, we're motivated to respond with God or to God in obedience.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.